Take your Bibles, if you will. We're going to turn to two portions of Scripture as our opening reading, from Colossians chapter 1 and from Philippians chapter 2. And if you're really, really good, our message will come from John chapter 12. So I don't know how many fingers you have there or how many envelopes are available there in the rack in front of you, but shall we stand together as we read from 1 Colossians chapter 1, and then we'll be going to Philippians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 1, and we'll begin reading at verse 15, the title of our message being "The World Has Gone After Him," that being Jesus. And it says in verse 15 of Colossians 1, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." And then if you're able, Philippians chapter 2, and we'll begin reading at verse 5, Philippians chapter 2. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that we can look into your holy word. Thank you, Lord, for our Savior, Jesus Christ, who was willing to humble himself and to die as our sacrifice. Lord, we pray that if there is one here today that has never accepted thee as Savior, that this would indeed be the day. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. In the book of John chapter 12, we'll begin reading shortly, but Jesus has become a real thorn in the side of the Jewish religious leaders. You know that I have mentioned that we have plenty of religion in the world. What we need in the world today are those who are willing to follow Jesus. Jesus is not a way to heaven, he is the way to heaven. Jesus had become an irritant, a nuisance, a bother, an annoyance. He was a pain in their neck and an inconvenience. Some would have called him a royal troublemaker. He proclaimed love. The religious leaders that hated him wanted to beat people over the head with the law. He wanted people to be willing to follow him as Lord. And to add to this, that Lazarus, who was dead and buried, but was now alive and was a living tribute to this Jesus of Nazareth. Thus, Jesus has become the talk of the town. If you would, John chapter 12, and let's begin reading at verse 9. John 12, verse 9. "Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he Jesus was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Notice verse 19. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the whole world is gone after him." But now we'll finish by reading verses 12 and 13. And on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, that feast being Passover, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, "Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." There had been a bounty put on the heads of both Jesus and Lazarus. The religious leaders said, "These men are causing people to drift away." And so they wanted to kill them. That sounds like a good religious thing. These same religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, who believed the Ten Commandments were so necessary, they were forgetting the one commandment that says, "Thou shalt not" what? "Kill." And yet they wanted to kill Lazarus. They wanted to kill Jesus. But here we find that Jesus is going to come into the city triumphantly on what we would call Palm Sunday. But we know that Paul, writing to the preacher Timothy, said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says, "Yea, in all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men," and we could say women, "shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." That sounds like America of 2016. That we are seeing evil men and women growing worse and worse, and they are deceiving and being deceived. And yet, may I say that through it all, Jesus Christ and his church will be triumphant. We will be victorious. In verses 12 through 15, we have the triumphal entry. Let's read verses 14 and 15. We've already read 12 and 13. "And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, 'Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass's colt.' These things understood not the disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him." Much people came for the feast. As you know, we have been going through the seven feasts of Israel for the Lord. And the first one is the Feast of Passover, and much people had come for this feast. The name comes from the Hebrew word pash, P-A-S-A-H, which means to pass over. The word became the name of one of the Old Testament's most important annual feasts and festivals, instituted to commemorate God's grace in sparing Jewish sons the night he struck Egypt's homes with death and the death of the firstborn. The people of Israel were given explicit instructions on keeping this annual feast, at which each family enacted events of that significant night and ate the special Passover meal together. This festival, this feast, took place in the Jewish month Abib, which is part of March and part of April. But unfortunately, the feast was not kept faithfully by the people of Israel, and thus it was often associated with revival. It is a symbol of redemption that links life and the shedding of blood, just as the Passover speaks to us of Christ, our Passover lamb, who was sacrificed for us. In 1 Corinthians 5, 7, and 8, I read, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye might be a new lump." How do you like to be compared to a lump? "As ye are unleavened, even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." The Passover. Some call the Passover a festival of freedom. As the children of Israel left Egypt and their bondage behind, we that are born again are freed from the bondage of sin and the damnation of hellfire. Now, how important it is to realize that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to miss. How often people will admit there is a heaven, but they don't want to admit that there is a hell. Hell was created for the devil and his angels, but for those that will not accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, they will spend all eternity in hell fire. We find here again in verses 12b and 13a, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him. They were excited about meeting Jesus. May I say this? I think it's great when we are excited to come to church. Thank you for the four of you. Let me say that again. I think it should be exciting to go to church. Now, I realize that there are going to be some Saturdays that we may not feel good and things may not be going just the way we'd like them. And we think, oh, well, tomorrow's church and I think I had to go. And I know that there are times like that. You know how I know there are times like that? Because I've had times like that. Do you ever realize that there are some Sunday mornings I get up and I say, oh, Donna, do I really have to go today? And Donna says, yes, you're the pastor. But I think we should be excited about going to church. We get together with fellow believers. I love singing the old songs, songs of the faith that make us realize that we serve a risen Savior and He's in the world today. That we serve something that is alive. I was telling the Sunday school class that I went to an auction yesterday and they were selling off things that were old. What happens to things that are old? They get older. That's right. If they're lucky, they get older. But a lot of times they deteriorate and they fall apart. And what's going to happen to this body of ours? We're going to fall apart. How many of you are falling apart? Yes, I'm tired of these eyes and these ears. They're starting to go. Sometimes Donna's talking and I can hear her mumbling. And I say to her, will you stop mumbling? How many of you felt that way? Yes, stop mumbling. Well, the ears are falling apart. And how many of you are sick and tired of cholesterol, diabetes, and high blood pressure? The big three. How many? Yes. Falling apart. But there's a great day coming to the believer. See, I believe that Jesus Christ has gone to prepare a place for me. And that in heaven that there'll be no sin. What a glorious thought. It's a glorious thought. And we should be excited about it. And as we gather together, and who is here also? Jesus said that if two or three are gathered together in my name, I will be there also. You ever ponder that? When we come here and we are gathered together to sing the songs of praise and to look into His holy book, and we are gathered here together, Jesus is here also. What a glorious thought. And they were excited. But unfortunately, the religious leaders were frustrated. They were frustrated. This story is recorded in all four Gospels. And in Matthew, we find that they say, and when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" And the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee," in Matthew chapter 21. We find in the book of John this thought. "The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, 'Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world has gone after him.'" May I say it'd be great if the United States of America would once again go after Jesus Christ. Now I know we have freedom of religion in America. But I believe this, that when our founding fathers talked about freedom of religion in America, that they meant the religions that were being there in Europe. Because you remember, they came from Europe. And that's what they meant. They didn't mean all these other things that are so-called allowed today. But we realize that America has freedom of religion, but may I say this, religion only makes you realize that you need God. Jesus Christ tells us how we can please God by accepting him as Lord and Savior. In the book of Luke, we find in chapter 19, "And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, 'Master, rebuke thy disciples.'" Remember, he has come in and they're praising and calling out to him. And they say, "Rebuke thy disciples." "And he answered and said unto them, 'I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out.'" May I say this, the stones of the universe cry out that there is a divine creator. Do you ever look at the pictures of the universe? You look at pictures of the galaxies. You look at pictures of faraway worlds. And they call out that there is a divine creator. And what are we finding out as we send out satellites and our telescopes further and further? We find that the universe is bigger than we ever thought. And it all just happened from an explosion a couple of billion years ago. Come on. There is a divine creator, and the stones do cry out. But may I say this? God is still God. And it doesn't matter if man says there is no God. It doesn't matter if people deny there is a God. There is a God, and he is still God. And God still directs our paths. Many people have as their life verse from Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." How important it is that we allow the God of the universe, the Creator God, to direct our path so that we are on the right path. It is still better to obey. The prophet Samuel said to King Saul, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." We are to obey the Lord, and we're not to be stubborn about it. We need to realize that he is God and that we are to be his servants. And we shouldn't think of the word servant as something that is second class. To be the servant of the Lord is first class. We still walk by faith and not by sight. It says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, "Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." What a blessing it is to sing the songs of praise. What a blessing it is to sing them with others. One of the blessings of going to the men's conference there in Mansfield, Ohio, is to be there with 800 to 850 men singing. That'll stir your heart to rejoice in what the Lord has done, to walk by faith. May I say this? We still need some refining. Behold, I have refined thee, the book of Isaiah 48 says. A chorus book that we used to have in our small auditorium had this thought: he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. He's still working on us. How many of you remember watching somebody you knew working on an engine in their car, and they were using a screwdriver to listen to the motor? Any of you remember that? They would take a screwdriver and they would put it against part of the engine and the other end to their ear, and they would be adjusting the timing. Do you remember that? Getting the timing just right. Of course, today's cars are amazing with all their computers, as long as the computers are working, right? How many of you hope that you don't get any better than what you are right now? How many of you think there's something that could be better in your life? Yes. There, I know there is in my life, and I don't want to hear my wife say amen to that. But I'm still working on it. I really am. You should have seen me 43 years ago. I gave you an opportunity to say amen there. Yes. All things still work together for good. Romans 8:28 says, "For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God." That's the important part of that verse. All things work together for them that love God. Do you love God? Can you prove it? Can we see it in your life? Can people at work see that you love God, that you honor God, that you serve God? Do people in your family know by your lifestyle that God is important to you? Notice, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to" what? His purpose. It's all about the Lord. How often we think it's all about us, but it's really not. It's all about our Creator God. It's all about our Lord. And it's important that we remember that. How big is your God? Some people want a God they can put in a box. They want their God so that they can control them, control him. Or that he's always going to provide money for them, or he's always going to provide health for them, or he's always going to make everything perfect. Folks, we live in a fallen world, a world that has sin in it, and bad things happen. Okay? My wife is one that likes raising butterflies. Thank you. She goes out and searches for little caterpillars and brings them home. I'm trying to be nice. This year she's had some problems. She got some milkweed that had been sprayed with something, and it's caused some issues with the butterflies. Well, the caterpillars. She's sad. I tell you, bad things happen to good people. I remember when my mother was told she had cancer, not for the first time, and not for the second time, and not for the third time, but she had cancer, and cancer killed her. Bad things happen to good people. Sin is in this world. But how big is your God? Will you trust him through the rough times? Will you trust him through the difficult times? Let me read to you from the book of Isaiah. "For how should my name be polluted? I will not give my glory unto another. Hearken unto me. I am he. I am the first. I also am the last. My hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth." Now listen to this. "My right hand hath spanned the heavens. How big is your God? My God's right hand has spanned the heavens. I hope your God's that big. I hope your God is in control. I hope that you serve a living God. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. His love is so great that he sent his Son. God sent God. God the Father sent God the Son, who was willing to die for us, willing to give us forgiveness, second chances. How big is your God? Oh, he's a God of love. And he's a God that wants you to spend eternity with him. Shall we stand together? 382 is our song of invitation, softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, maybe today you'd like to come forward and we'd be glad to have someone show you from the Word of God what you need to do to be saved. Maybe you just would like to come forward and pray for yourself or for another. The altar is here. If you're unable to bend and here at the altar, you can always sit on the front pew. But as we sing, may the Lord bless this invitation time. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, now your hand will be upon us. May the Spirit move and direct. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.